We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Right up in the wing, Cousins rips in over the line. Cousins around behind the net. Dropped it off in the corner. It comes back to the point. Held in there by Buffalo. Oposo will rip a shot. Scores! Kyle Oposo, welcome to the 21-22 season with the first Buffalo Sabres goal on the power play. Thompson got it back to the point. Kept in by Buffalo. Still a man advantage on the power play. Worked into the corner. Scores! That one was fired into the net. Olofsson, he found room. He rifled it home. And Buffalo on the power play again has a two-goal lead. Olofsson, he doesn't shoot. Cleared it into the corner. Skinner cleared it across ice. Back it comes to Olofsson. Dahlin, Olofsson fires one off the leg. Another shot. He scores! Tage Thompson. Another power play goal for Buffalo. 5-1.
This is a pretty close-knit group of guys. They went through a lot last year. Like returning players, let's not forget, they were in a tough division. I mean, every team was stuck in tough divisions. It was like every team was in a playoff series last year. You just couldn't escape. The other teams knew you, and they wanted the 2 points. And, you know, I think turning crew grew from that experience, bonded from that experience quite a bit, and feel that as a coaching staff since training camp started, really, and it was no different tonight.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
How about that? New goal songs and the largest margin of victory in a season opener in the history of the Buffalo Sabres. And it's Football Friday. I mean, I don't know you could ask for anything more. Happy Friday, everybody. Good morning, Mr. White. That was fun last night.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was fun. You know, it wasn't a big crowd, obviously, but they were loud. They seemed into it. There's some, the team looked good, they played well, there's a lot of things to get to from the game last night, but hey, game one of 82 was enjoyable, and that's all I'm looking for at this point.
Yeah, there are a couple reminders, and Don Granato's comment right there, I'd forgotten about that. You know, part of the frustration with the Sabres last year, and for most years, but lately, is they're a lot worse than they should be, you know? We watch and think, man, this team should be better. And then they fire Kruger and they get better. And the point about
the division
last year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they were in a murderous division last year and just kept playing really good teams. Like the number of teams that made the playoffs the prior year, whatever it was, like it was a really tough division to be in.
Yeah.
You know, you lost Montreal. You lost Ottawa, two teams that were at the bottom of your division, and you traded them in for some pretty tough teams. So yeah, I mean, I think it's all part of it. I was reminded last night how Montreal made the Cup final, and we all kind of watched that as that happened and thought, like, this team is not that good.
Right. I mean, they were the season before, they only made the playoffs because there were eight additional teams. I mean, they weren't that good. They went on a nice run. The series with Toronto would have, could have, should have. They could have been eliminated in that series, and Carey Price was hot. But, right. I mean, I know they beat the Cup runner-up, but I don't know that anybody thought Montreal was the second-best team in the league last year.
Well, two years ago when they added eight more teams, Montreal finished one place ahead of the Sabres.
Right, and if the Sabres played them and beat them, that would have been flipped, right? They would have been in Montreal.
They would have been closer. They were 4 points back, or maybe 3 points back with two in hand.
Yeah.
They would have placed them on or they would have passed them in win percentage. Anyway, like that's 2 years ago, and all the Sabres had to be was a tiny bit better. they would have made playoffs in that return to play format. So it's been one of the things that's always been so maddening about this franchise is if they had just done anything, it might have improved.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Good win. Good win for them. Good win for Craig Anderson. Good win for Kyle Oposo, who looks like he aged in reverse 5 years.
Benjamin
right?
Button? I don't know.
We got prime Kyle Oposo rolling.
Yeah, although, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't call anybody old guys, but the old guys played well last night. Oposo, Gergensen, Anderson. And honestly, Oposo, you know, you had to, at some point over his time here, I think we all realized he's not going to be the big goal scorer that you'd expect with the contract. His role has changed. He's now a guy that you look at for energy and forecheck and leadership. And, you know, we'd like you to score every now and then. And he is succeeding in that role. And thought, you know, we focused on the young guys at the coaching change, right? But Oposo played well too almost everybody played better under Don Granato, really. But Oposo, in what his role is good. And he was skating last night. Yeah, he looked like he had a lot of energy. I think the fans were appreciative of that. You know, he talked about feeding off the energy. He had a goal, almost had two. And yeah, it's nice to see. And he is entrusted with being one of the leaders of this team now on such a young roster. And it's, if you can, and I have, I mean, I, you know, he's, again, don't look at the contract. He's not going to be a 30 goal scorer. We know that, but with what he's being asked to do in Buffalo right now, he is succeeding in that role. It's a different role for him than what he had when he came over here. So I liked a lot of what I saw last night. I mean, you know, nobody's going overboard. And Montreal played the night before. They played their backup goalie and they were without a few players. But the Sabres played well. They skated well. They attacked. I thought they were, you know, they looked pretty organized. Their passing looked pretty good. The special teams were good. They're gonna need power play goals to boost this team because I don't know what 5-on-5 scoring is gonna be like. And they got power play goals, so there were a lot of things to like. And it sounded like, you know, the building was less than half full. But it sounded like people were into the game and having a good time last night. And they got the cheers were pretty loud from what I could hear at home watching on TV. So it's nice to see the crowd got into it.
What do I always tell you that I'm not claiming is my own idea, but just what do I always tell you?
Fake crowd
goals.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And just score goals.
Right, that's right.
And literally everything else is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fine if you score goals. If they lost that game 6-5, the crowd would have been
right
into it and loud.
Right, I agree.
The Sabres had been playing a principled system that sucked all of the talent and creativity and genius out of these players.
Yeah.
And now they're not doing that anymore. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I might end up with frustration to see players blossoming. Not that they're blossoming, but this could have already been happening.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I know.
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of, You leave the house late and you're mad about it. You're not mad that you left. You're mad, why did it take so long to finally leave the house? You know?
Yeah, there were tweets. Sabres Twitter was fun last night, which is also nice for a change. And there were tweets, yourself included. I think a number of people were tweeting about, you know, like, oh, Kruger. Like, you know, you're still thinking about what kind of setbacks that were, how many there were, rather, and why'd they wait so long, and Granato comes in, and sure, I mean, we knew the Sabres weren't making the playoffs, of course, but at least the last however many games it was with Granato, 20 games, whatever it was, after the first week, and he was able to really put some things in place, at least it was entertaining to watch, and they were more fun as a hockey team, and I think that's the approach that almost everybody is taking this season, right? It's not necessarily about the wins and losses. It's just make me happy to watch the team play.
Unless there are enough wins, then it becomes about the wins and losses. Because
yeah.
One thing that could happen, you know, you and I mentioned yesterday, what could possibly happen where we get mad at the team this
mm-hmm.
year? And the answer is they get into a playoff race and then they start to, you know, stumble and don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's Housley's first season, right? When they go, second season. They go on the 10-game win streak. All of a sudden, it looks like they could make the playoffs, and it falls apart, and they just, you know, they let it happen.
Yeah.
And we got really mad because it was, hey, you have an opportunity here. You got off to a good enough start that maybe if you made a cagey move right here or made some sort of roster decision, you might be able to get into the playoffs and end this drought. And, of course, they didn't because they didn't want to upset the plan. and they finished, you know, like a bottom five team again, like they have so many years. So that might be the only thing, is if they exceed expectations, mm-hmm. they get everybody on board, and then, you know, lean back on the, well, we can't upset the plan. I'm not saying, like, you know, you're trading your overall pick.
Right, just for a veteran piece to
You know, rentals, depth players. You can make in-season moves that don't necessarily upset the entire idea of what you're going to build going forward. And, you know, Tim Murray, I can remember him saying, we're not going to trade a Sam Reinhart. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jason Bottrell saying, we're not going to upset the plan. Well, the plan, obviously, for those guys didn't work. And with Kevin Adams, I would hope that if they do, again, it's one game.
Right.
I'm not anticipating this as a problem.
But
if they get into the ninth spot with the month to go,
yeah,
it'd be okay if you did something about that. And, you know, anyway.
Well, there's no rule that the plan has to be a certain amount of time. I mean, of the plan can be accelerated.
And the plan does not actually include people, because you don't even know who's going to be on your team next year.
Correct.
Regarding, like, draft picks and stuff. So, you know, they've been, as a franchise, way too slow to react to do things.
Well, and you're talking about adding players to help, and this goes back to previous multiple GMs, adding players to help a team that's sinking a little bit, or yes. making a coaching change in time before, you know, it's completely out of control.
Yeah, exactly. They've had opportunities to save sinking ships, and instead of just, you know, let them
We're going to let our guys play through it. We trust them. Let's see if they get over it. Right.
So, anyway, yeah, I mean, like, good news for a win. Unfortunately, you and I spoke something bad
yeah,
into
that's your
existence.
No. Hang on.
Just me?
Let's not throw me under the bus with you.
Okay.
Or, in this case, under the Zamboni. It was just you.
I simply said yesterday, one thing no one's talking about is depth. What happens, you know, when Casey Mittelstadt gets hurt?
You might have said if. I don't know, if, when, whatever. But, and lo and behold, are you playing number one center tomorrow afternoon?
Is Tage Thompson playing number one center?
Cousins?
Maybe.
Ritsalainen goes in the lineup, I assume. I mean, yeah, I mean, their center depth is questionable to begin with, and then Mittelstadt ends up leaving with an upper body injury last night.
I thought Cousins played well and looked pretty good.
Yeah, I thought there were a number of guys, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought he seemed to be skating with some pretty good energy. You know what? He just seemed to be playing like he didn't. The story on him, like Paul had said, by the way, let me backtrack, because your whole one game. You know, yeah, I didn't watch last night thinking, hey, maybe they could make a playoff run. But it's funny. I mean, all you need is one win, and it just makes you look more optimistically at things. Like, I'm hearing Paul in my head as they're expanding the lead against Montreal, and I'm hearing Paul in my head going, you know, guys, the beginning of the schedule isn't really that hard. And I saw Arizona's getting drilled in Columbus, right? And Hutton, what is it, 7 goals in the expected? I saw some tweet about the expected goals, and they gave up 7. And hey, Arizona's here tomorrow, so that's 2-0. And then Vancouver is here on Tuesday, and they're going to play New Jersey and Anaheim. And anyway, I'll stop.
Well, Hutton, as you mentioned his name, he's another piece that fits into the conversation we just had about, hey, you've got a major problem. Would you like to address it?
No, let's let him stay. He fixed his eyesight. I mean, it was just right, and he was never productive here.
I mean, last season, Ullmark finished with a winning record. 9-6-3.
Mm-hmm. But the backup goalies at one point were like 1-15, right? Remember it took forever for someone not named Ullmark to get a win? Remember that stat? It was a crazy stat about the backup goalies last year. And what did they do? We'll just keep playing these guys.
Yeah.
Hutton will play through it. What were we talking about? I forget. Young guys, Cousins, that's hard to remember. Oh, well, I was going to make another point about something you said about watching the guys last night. I mean, for me, the approach was, as I said earlier, you know, I'm not thinking about wins and losses because I'm not expecting this team to be like a major surprise and be in the race for an extended amount of time. So it's just watching, you know, I watch the puck less and watch players more. just to, you know, just to see how Dahlin looks with, without the puck, whatever. Cousins, how's Mittelstadt? Oh, Cousins. The Cousins thing for me, I was trying to keep an eye on him because of what Paul had talked about, that Cousins hadn't looked good in the preseason, that he was putting a lot of pressure on himself. Even Don Granato said that when he was on with us Tuesday, that Cousins is such a competitive guy that if he doesn't practice well or play well, it'll stay with him the next day. And it can be, it can drive you to be, you know, better, but it could also be a negative because you put so much pressure on yourself and you're dwelling on the negative. And I just wanted, and to me, it seemed like he played free. You know, he didn't look like someone who was pressing. He was just skating. He was into the flow of the game. He was making plays. He was good on the forecheck. He was doing the things that I think a lot of fans liked about his game last season. So, again, only one game. But that's one of the things I was looking for in terms of, I'm watching individual guys, you know. I wanted to see how Dahlin looked with his decision-making. Was he you know, they're going to rely on him to do a lot of breakout passes or carry pucks out of the zone. And how did he look doing that? Mittelstadt for sure. You know, some of the other younger guys trying to see, you know, Asplund, Thompson. It's all about watching guys that I think are going to be here as the core in future years to see how they're doing under Granato, and not as much, you know, the actual puck and who had a big check and who had this. I'm just trying to see how some of the young guys look and whether they flourish in this system. And, you know, everything was good for opening night.
Well, good for them. And they had new goal songs.
I didn't hear any of them, quite honestly.
I didn't hear them
when they
to
were scoring. I wouldn't know them anyway. I think I knew. I looked at the full list. I think I knew like two or three. But I wasn't – when they scored – it wasn't registering in my head, hey, you should be listening to hear what this goal song sounds like. So I'll keep an eye on that against Arizona Saturday. But that's a good idea. I like that. You know, I didn't realize Washington had done that, right? I'm watching the Caps and the Rangers the other night. I think Oshie scored the first goal, and they're playing John Denver, Take Me Home Country Roads. And I thought, what the hell's that? It actually made me think of Toronto, right? Hall & Oates was their goal song, or a Hall & Oates song, I should say. And I thought, why are they playing John Denver? And like all of a sudden, everybody starts tweeting at me. It's individual goal songs. Every player is allowed to pick his song. And I thought, I like that. It's like baseball players get their walk-up music. Why not?
It's been happening around the league for about 5 years.
Yeah, well, okay. This to another, you know, me. I'm a little bit behind on things.
Another thing that fans thought, like, hey, why don't you try this?
Yeah.
And it's very... it's unintentionally funny that... You know, fans of this franchise wanted, hey, could you make this change? Could you do this? Could you do this? And they wouldn't even change the goal song.
Yeah, which is an easy switch, obviously.
Exactly. Finally, they've done that. And, you know, it's just another kind of thing that makes games a little more interesting, a little more nice, maybe a little more fun.
A little fun. I mean, it's
gives the players a little bit more personality.
It's about fun, right? It's about entertainment. It's about making your fan base happy. And yes, at the end of the day, ultimately, your fan base will be happy if you win a lot of games. But until you get to that point, well, what else can you do? Game presentation, goal songs, pricing, whatever. Kids bounce houses. I don't know. But it's always about
the wave. You could do the wave.
The wave was fun last night.
And the wave is always fun.
And, you know, I don't know. They didn't show it on TV, but I have it on. Brayton was there. Brayton's the first guy. You know, there's always one person that starts the wave, and it was Brayton. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, the wave was good, and the fans were doing the whole 1, 2, 3, 4, we want 5, and they were serenading the Canadians at the end with the hey, hey, goodbye song, and it was great. I mean, it sounded like a fun atmosphere, and that's it. Yes, you want wins, but at the very least, put an entertaining team on the ice, and I'm not big into show me you've got effort every night. You should. It's your job. But I'm talking about, you know, make it a style that fans go to the game and feel they didn't waste their money. And there might not be a win every night. In fact, we know there won't be. But they go to the game and they walk away feeling entertained enough to say, I'm going to come back and watch this team play again this season. And I don't know what the crowds are going to be like, Jeremy. You know, maybe if they keep playing some really good games, you know, more fans will show up when the border opens up. Maybe we'll start seeing, you know, Sabre fans from Canada will be allowed back into this country and we'll see them go to the games. I just do that, you know, just make it fun, an entertaining night at the arena so people will want to come back for more. And that's all you do at this point while you're still trying to figure out how to get a whole bunch of wins or when you're going to get a whole bunch of wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's a very, it's not asking a lot. And I think Granato gets that. And I think, I mean, he's pretty much expressed that last season and again earlier this week with us. It's not a lot to ask for right now inside a rebuilding effort. That's basic. That's base what you need to do for your fans. Just make it fun. Let us be entertained at the old yard there. Or, well, that's a more of a ballpark thing. At the barn. There you go. Let us be entertained when we go to the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can call the arena a barn. It's over 20 years old. I feel like that's okay.
I flipped over to the Thursday night game late in the Sabres game. Like, once they had it locked up, I flipped over to the Thursday night game, the Tampa-Philly thing. And it was a good game, actually, you know. The Bucks got out to an early lead, and the Eagles got back in it. You know, the two-point conversion controversy, I'm not sure if you know about this from last night.
No, I know there's a check swing controversy from baseball, yes, but I didn't know there was a two-point controversy.
Lots of juicy stuff from the sports world last night.
And a bad taunting penalty, I guess. Really? What happened?
So bad.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter. I didn't see the clip, so I've don't know the context of where it came in the game.
Bad. Yeah. And the worst part of it. Okay, so the Bucks are basically running out the clock to try to win the game. It's 28-22.
Yep.
The Eagles have scored, I think, 15 unanswered points to get to 28-22. And the Bucks have the ball, and they're trying to move down the field. You know, Brady handing to Fournette. Mm-hmm. They want to eat the clock the whole way, which they do. They actually end the game inside the Eagles' maybe 5-yard line and kneel it out in there.
Yep.
But along the way, I want to say Fournette gets tackled.
Yep.
And I think it's Fournette. An Eagles linebacker gets up and is, I want to say, he's only existing in Fournette's direction. That's it. He does nothing.
Hmm.
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a gesture.
He exists in Fournette's direction. Fournette gets up, and Fournette's helmet, it's like he drew the taunting penalty. Hmm. Fournette puts his helmet into this guy's face and backs off like, whoa, man, why are you in my face? And gets the call.
Hmm. Was he straddling over Fournette,
no,
leaning over him menacingly?
He was existing, I'm telling you, he was existing in Fournette's direction.
Yeah.
And maybe the worst part of it, it's comically bad, this taunting penalty. They bring in Mike Pereira to tell us why
really?
It is a penalty.
Well, guys.
And Mike Pereira proceeds to do that and say, well, guys, you know, they're telling players, make the play and walk away. Like it's a slogan on a shirt. Make the play and walk away.
Mm. I look forward to the NFL ad campaign on that.
I know. I struggle to think if we'll get a worse taunting penalty this year.
I look forward to a replay review where they explain, they have a little clock on the screen and go, all right, guys, look, see, he was standing over Fournette for 3.6 seconds. Now, look, our limit is 1 to 1.5. And if you are standing over a guy longer than 1.5, they're going to throw the flag. It's a justifiable call.
Tweet it to you right
now.
Yeah,
look at it.
I want you to watch it live.
It's too bad. You know what? It went away. Taunting went away there for a couple weeks, right? After the first two games of the season, we didn't really have a bad taunting call.
Well, right. We didn't have bad calls. I'm sure what you're about to see in this video happens on a drive-to-drive basis.
All right, let me take a look at this.
It's just so stupid. Fournette, you could make the case that Fournette should be penalized on this. This taunting penalty. Fourth quarter of the game, final drive, big moment, 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. He wasn't even jawing at him because he had his mouth guard in.
Watch the second angle. Fournette gets up and hits him.
I was watching the second angle. That's right. I was trying to see if the guy was trash-talking or doing – I mean, he's standing there, of course. But I was trying to see if he was trash-talking or doing anything. Not the first angle. The second one's better because you get a little better look at the linebacker.
If the NFL –
yeah, that's just – he's just – I guess by standing there, they think he is – mentally taunting Leonard Fournette. How's that? Not verbal.
Right.
Mentally taunting Leonard Fournette by being there. Like admiring his tackle or sending a message through his body actions. Yeah, we're having that discussion on a Friday morning at 6:26.
If Barry Sanders played today, they'd be asking him to hand the ball to the official but not look at the official.
Now, the nice thing is, that play had no bearing, or did that extend the drive? Or did that
it's a 15-yard penalty and a first down.
So maybe Philly gets the ball back on. Okay.
You never know.
Say, I hope I was hoping 50, that it really didn't impact
the final
the
drive of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was fourth down or second down or whatever, but it's a 15-yard penalty and a first down.
Right. Yeah, you don't – that's it's a tough call, as Lindy Ruff would say. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. That's a polite way of saying, what the hell are you people doing? I mean, that's
or
just,
Lindy might say that's a joke. That's the definition
that's the
of a joke.
That's the definition of a joke. I miss Lindy on some of those lines. All right, it is Friday. We are going to multitask today because it is football Friday. So we'll talk Bills Titans, even though we have an extra day, of course, to wait for the game against the Titans. It's a Monday night game, in case you are the one person who didn't know that. Plus, the Sabres get a big win. Hey, huh? Fun night at the old barn last night. Who or what impressed you last night, Sabres fans? There's some stuff to get to from that, too. Excuse me. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. I don't know which segment today, but of course, we'll spend a good, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes defining a check swing. So that's going to be entertaining. Grab a line and join us this morning. On the show today, Sal's going to be with us at 7 as part of Football Friday. Paul Hamilton covered the game last night. He's going to join us at 8. John Murphy at 8:30 for a Bills-Titans preview. Scaff at 9:30. So pretty much 4 hours of wild madcap fun. Football Friday is brought to you by Buffalo Style Chicken Logs from Original Pizza Logs, official finger food of the Buffalo Bills, and by Corona Hard Seltzer, an official seltzer of the Buffalo Bills.
Trickles into the corner. Miller gets it back again. He wants to wind up and let another one rip. He scores! Somebody in front of the net got a piece of it, I think, but in one case or another, the Buffalo Sabres are finding themselves on the goal by Zemgus Girgensons with a 2-0 lead.
Moments of the game, or a moment of the game there, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments here in life, go forth to Firth. So I have no idea what we're playing, but I think that is the Zemgus Girgensons goal song, fellas. Okay, I'm going to trust Zach and Brayton on this one, because, okay, I mean, I don't know who it is or what it is, but cool. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. The Sabres were the win last night. Who or what impressed you the most? Let's see. Christopher tweeted in, came out, worked hard. We get connected with our fans, by the way, brought to you by Bond, Shenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Christopher says, came out, worked hard for Granato. Power play had some great puck movement and finish. Anderson rock solid. If they can close their talent gap with their effort, they'll be a tough out this season. But 80 to 90 points, still a challenge with Tampa, Florida, yeah. Toronto, and Boston. Wes says, hopeful, but keeping expectations in check until they play a few other teams. Would think it would be difficult to maintain this style of play over an entire season. And Bill said, very entertaining. I was happy for Rick Jenrette having a great game to call. I noticed that Skinner had the most ice time of any forward, and that the D all played fairly equal time. Well, we'll take your calls, comments on the Sabres last night, 803-0550. We're going to get some football, of course, to talk Bills Titans since sounds like a lot of you are going to be there Monday night in Nashville. By the way, very nice weather for the game Monday night if you are going to Nashville. Beautiful day in Nashville on Monday.
Good. That's good. It's going to storm today, by the way.
Maybe some strong storms. Strong storms. Our buddy Patrick Hammer over at Channel 2, he's so good. I didn't even have to ask him.
Yeah.
He DM'd me the Nashville game time forecast. Clear, quiet, low 60s, light wind. Beautiful night, Monday night, if you're going to the game.
Very good.
He said, by the way, heads up for strong storms here later today. So, yes, do keep an eye on that.
We watched last year in the pandemic, of course, you know, we watched a lot of the Bills games outside. We put a television out in the backyard and watched outside. We have now made that one of the things that, you know, you just adopted from that weird year.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a TV full-time outside. So, Monday night football, be watching outside.
Nice.
It's wonderful. It's another benefit of you know, this time of year. It's wonderful,
yeah.
Right?
Hey, you can watch Clemson and Syracuse tonight outside if you'd like that.
That's actually a good idea. What's the forecast for Sunday here? Could you have Patrick Hammer let us know? Because
I think it's a rainy weekend.
I'm, I will not accept that answer. I am not.
Sorry.
A lot of weekend left.
Sunday's not as bad. Like Saturday, tomorrow, forget it. You're getting wet. I'm at the Channel 2 on their app for their Storm Team 2 app. So 90% chance of rain tomorrow.
Okay.
Sunday, few showers early, gradual clearing later in the day, 40% chance of rain, high 58. Hmm. So not the greatest Sunday.
All right.
So, but that doesn't mean you can't be outside. I mean, if it's not wet, I mean, 50s is fine. You throw your hoodie on with your shorts and go watch your TV outside.
Well, Sunday, that's not what I'm about. Sunday, I have my first round of golf planned in about
Oh, I thought you were talking about watching football.
No, I'm talking about I need to golf.
Oh, the course is going to be soggy from Saturday, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be, it sounds like we're getting a lot of rain maybe today and tomorrow. Might not be the best course weather.
So far, fall has been beautiful weather, and then a really important day for everyone to be outside shows up and it rains. Like, that was the Texans game, right? It was beautiful all week, and then bam, all the rain in one day. So maybe that's coming this weekend, too. On the Sabres last night, there was another thing I wanted to mention. I forget what it was. Oh, Jeff Skinner being number one in ice time among forwards. Yeah, he had a couple of assists. He had a couple turnovers because, you know, that's going to happen.
Yep. He's on the number one PP.
Yep.
So that's a good thing.
And the number one power play. I'm trying to think power play one versus power play two, which scored the goals in the game.
I believe they both did. Let me double check my notes because I'm pretty sure they both had power play goals, both units, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll find it for you. But yeah, I liked, in fact, it's, you know what? One of the things I think that'll be pretty interesting. I mean, you know, you're watching power play one and you're just, you know, of course, okay, who's in the Eichel spot? And I think it was Mittelstadt on the left side on the first power play. And then Thompson has a net front presence, right? Reinhart was so good in that role. And we'll see if Thompson, and he's a big body, obviously. We'll see if Thompson can flourish, maybe get some goals on the power play because he's going to be the guy in front for tips, for, you know, garbage. I hate to use garbage, but, you know, rebounds and stuff like that.
It certainly seemed like, again, I feel like every sentence should start with, it's one game. The power play is another, and the penalty kill are two spots that they have been able to get much better at. The power play last year was just pass it to Olofsson, right? They would funnel everything through Olofsson, and it looks like there's a little bit less of that. I mean, he's still there, and you can still use that, but it seems like there's more movement to the power play as a whole.
Oposo, so they both scored. Oposo scored a goal on the power play. He was on the number two unit, and Olofsson and Thompson scored power play goals, and they were on the number one unit. Yeah, one of them was, I forget which. It's funny. I don't yell at the set, but I mean, I was close to, will someone shoot? Like, and they were really, it was the three guys out top and they were quick passes. You know, Rob was pointing out, that's what you do. You're moving Montreal side to side. Look at the passing. But it was getting to the point where like, will someone shoot? And I think it was the number one unit. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's a shot finally from the side. It's kicked out. The guy on the opposite side along the half wall gets the goal. Maybe that was Thompson's goal. So yeah, I thought they did move the puck around pretty good. I will say the one thing, Jeremy, about the number one power play that struck me last night, I didn't think that much about Eichel. But the number one power play, obviously Dahlin is the guy. That's right. They're going to want the puck in his hands to go up the ice, you know, zone entries, whatever the case may be. The nice thing about it is like Eichel was out there too. Like you could always give the puck to Eichel in the D zone and go, all right, go up ice. Let's set up, gain the zone and let's set up for the power play. I'm not sure who the other guy is if Dahlin isn't taking the puck up or doing the work on the number one power play. Mittelstadt, Skinner, Thompson, and Olofsson were the guys there last night. That's the only time I thought, Eichel, like you could always just, here you go, Jack, take the puck, go. And even 5-on-5, obviously, he could do that too. So I'm curious to see who else could help out on the number one power play in terms of getting up ice, getting set up before you actually gain the offensive zone and then move the puck around. But yeah, I thought the power play was good. The penalty killing was good. Anderson, you know, one of among the issues with the goalies last season, not named Ullmark, was every now and then, just give me a clutch save. And it just seemed like they never could do that on a regular basis. And I want to say Anderson, I think it was like still 2-0. Montreal went on the power play, and I believe that's where they even had a 5-on-3 for a little bit. And he came up with a couple of really nice saves during a penalty kill while it was still a 2-goal game. So he didn't have to stand on his head, and he faced 31 shots. But when he needed to come up with a couple of key saves to keep it a 2-goal advantage for the Sabres, he was able to do that. Had a couple of nice back-to-back saves on two really good chances for Montreal on one of their power plays. So that worked out well for the Sabres, too. And they did, I thought they did, you know, the game open was nice. They had tweeted it out earlier in the day with the narration by Rick and, you know, the homage to Sabres fans passing the torch from generation to generation of being a Sabre fan. I thought that was nice. And it was a nice touch to do the Rene Robert tribute, which was pretty cool, and painting his number on the ice. So I thought some of the game presentation stuff, they did a good job last night too.
Question for you. How, and Brayton too, how many, there's a follow-up question, okay, so don't go too long on this, but how many look they're definitely better without Eichel texts have you, or tweets have you received?
I only saw, probably less than five. I really didn't see that many.
Brayton? Follow-up question.
Brayton's out of the control room. He's in the other
follow-up
room.
Follow-up question. How many, they're definitely better now because Ristolainen's not on the team, texts and tweets?
Less than the Eichel tweets.
Right. Isn't that funny?
I got more, actually, I got more tweets about Kruger than Eichel or Ristolainen.
Right. It's amazing.
Yeah.
They had a bad defenseman on the team for a long time. Him being gone helps. And the coach, I just don't think we can possibly overstate how bad the coach was.
Mm-hmm.
We have a texter writes in, I can't believe Granato was on Kruger's staff. It is amazing.
Yeah, it's night
it
and
is
day.
Amazing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It is. It's like you are an assistant and you know, like, and out of like the side of your mouth, like, I can't believe we're doing this right now. What are we doing, guys? It's but you can't say anything because you know, you're working for somebody.
It's like the difference between running with ankle weights and without what the Sabres were doing. Just like everything so bogged down. And
well, it was so counter to what they should have been doing and how they should have developed players and the roles they should have let guys have and the player usage and the line usage and the minutes. I mean, there were so many things.
It was wrong for everybody.
Right.
Absolutely wrong for everybody.
It was so frustrating. And yeah, so I did get more. I mean, we're better without Eichel stuff. I just kind of like laugh it off. But I did get, if I had to categorize it, it was more about Kruger than Eichel and Ristolainen not being here.
They'll eventually be better without Eichel. I mean, because he's going to leave.
And they didn't introduce him last night, by the way. They kind of skipped over number nine, right. Not surprisingly, right?
But he'll leave, and they will, of course, eventually at some point, it will get better.
Yeah.
The league is supposed to make bad teams good.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Phone lines are open. 803-0550. We got some football talk, of course, coming up at 7 on Football Friday. Sal's going to be with us. We're going to get into the Bills-Titans matchup. And we are talking about the Sabres opening night win from last night and who or what impressed you from that. You want to get into some other stuff that we're not getting into? That's fine. 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills this season. Visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link. Open said link, and then all you need to do is enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from among all the entries to win.
I do sense that from guy to guy. I mean, this is a pretty close-knit group of guys. They went through a lot last year. Like, returning players, let's not forget, they were in a tough division. I mean, every team was stuck in tough divisions. It was like every team was in a playoff series last year. You just couldn't escape. The other teams knew you, and they wanted the 2 points. And, you know, I think turning crew grew from that experience, bonded from that experience quite a bit, and feel that as a coaching staff since training camp started, really, and it was no different tonight.
Sabres coach Don Granato, some of his comments after the game last night. Fun night for the Sabres. In the opener, we'll get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, full-service Buffalo law firm. Jay tweeted in, there was a lot to like from last night. Granato and his staff seem to be getting the most out of the roster. Oposo, Girgensons, Skinner all played well. Just one game, still a lot of questions, but I liked what I saw. And Richard said, morning, boys. Last night was all I wanted, actually making a hard effort to strip pucks, chase guys down, not giving up on a play, and constantly dogging the other team. Speed with tape-to-tape passes, even when they lose, at least they're trying. You can join us too, 803-0550 on the Sabres last night. We'll get into a lot of football, course, coming up in just a few minutes when Sal joins us, and we'll dive into the Bills-Titans matchup coming up on Monday night. What else is going on in your world? Oh, you know what? We forgot to mention this yesterday. I'm really sorry about that because this was big news and it totally slipped my mind. Manning Cast playoff version is coming. Not back for another, what, couple weeks, I think? They're not certainly not doing the Bills-Titans game. It's the week after that. But the ESPN announced they've got the television rights for the new Monday night wild card playoff game this season, and that will be, or they'll have, in addition to the main broadcast, a Manning Cast playoff edition. Very excited about that. I'm looking forward to seeing Peyton and Eli get some postseason experience, and I don't think it'll be the last one we see since ESPN's got the wild card game for 5 years, I guess, as part of this agreement. Yeah. So way to go, Manning brothers, and graduating to some postseason.
I don't know if I'd watch it in the postseason.
I will. I think I will. I'll see. I like it. I mean, it's just, I mean, obviously if the Bills are playing, I'm not. But maybe it depends on the matchup, but I'll probably watch it. And if I think I'm not, if I'm too distracted or feel like I'm disconnected from the actual game, which could happen, then I'll go to the broadcast. But I'll start out with those guys and see what it's like.
Maybe. Depends on the game. I mean, if it's the Bills, you're
Well, it's not. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. I'm not watching. I would never watch the Manning Cast if the Bills are playing. I just can't. I need a traditional broadcast because I can't. Yeah, the Manning Cast is, I don't have a strong rooting interest. I just want to watch these guys and be entertained by them. If I'm really into the game, I didn't say the first couple of times I watched the Manning Cast, it is more about them, and I kind of lose track of what exactly is happening in the game, who's making key plays, because it's really all about what are they talking about, what are they doing. Is Eli, you know, doing the Dak Prescott warm-up drill, and it looks like he's trying to dance. Like, it's the entertainment portion. If I did have an interest in the game, yeah, I would probably go back to, you know, Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, Brian Greasy, but I'm glad to see them giving him a shot in the playoffs. That's good. And Nickelodeon's going to do another playoff game, too, like they did last year with the Saints game. I guess they're going to have, I think, one of the wild card games on CBS will be also, you know, the Nickelodeon kids version of the football game. That I watched, too. That's not as big a deal for me as the Manning Cast. That was more of a curiosity thing.
Yeah.
Bills and the Titans Monday night. We will get to injury reports, maybe some good news on the Matt Milano front. We'll start getting into that matchup with Sal. That's coming in a moment. Phone line's always open if you want to join us, 803-0550. Speaking of phone lines, we will open up our contest line. Right now we're going to give you a chance to win a $50 Shop 716 e-gift card, courtesy of Visit Buffalo Niagara. All you need to do for your chance to win is call 644-9878. We will take caller number 5 and get you the card. Again, 644-9878. Caller 5 gets the $50 Shop 716 e-gift card, courtesy of Visit Buffalo Niagara. Also, visit amherst.org/Shop 716 to buy a $25 Shop 716 e-gift card and get a bonus $25 card. Shop local, shop Erie County. Limit one per purchaser while supplies last.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.